Boy, we really hate to say we told you so. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is my co-host, Vice Chairman, fellow analyst, good friend, and beleaguered taxpayer, Chuck Michaels.
You know, today we're going to actually do some of the story of my life. When I was a kid, we always used to joke that the most uttered phrase by visitors in our house was, you know, you were right about that. I wish we'd listened to you.
Yes, and I think today, ladies and gentlemen, as we unpack what's happening across the fruited plain of the state of Ohio, I think we can sit here and say, we told you so.
And I think basically what we're basing that on is a rather interesting article that popped up in Andrew Breitbart's biggovernment.com. You can get there by going to just type in biggovernment.com. Big government's one word. It's a story, I believe, that was filed today.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, December the 6th, and it's entitled, Union Bosses Win, Ohio Workers Get Fired.
Yes, now, and Chuck, I believe a little over a month ago, we were saying that same thing as a warning.
Yes,
that
that's right.
Be careful. We were telling the police, firefighters, teachers, and other public employees and their families, be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. And it looks like those chickens have certainly come home to roost in Ohio.
Well, the author of this piece is Jason Hart. And basically what he's done is gone through and given links to several stories in several Ohio newspapers. And he starts out his article by saying 1 month ago, Ohio voted with its heart against reforms portrayed as an attack on public workers. Well, does that not echo what we were saying, that this was basically an emotional campaign and not an intellectual one?
Yes. And those are the worst type to get involved in, because honestly, what happens is somebody comes out early and they grab the heartstrings, or they get people agitated with what's basically propaganda, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, the idea of a political commercial of any type or a slick or anything really giving you information has gone the way of the dinosaur. What you have now are just propaganda that are designed and crafted to elicit first and foremost an emotional response out of the voters, to polarize them and galvanize them in one direction or the other. And the folks who were against Senate Bill 5, which was the collective bargaining reform bill, did a great job of getting out of the gate early and galvanizing almost into clad steel the opposition to this bill by that type of propaganda.
And $30 million of Ohio, D.C., and New York union money.
Yeah, that's right. We're just now starting to get the breakdowns because we're about a month in. It's going to be another couple of weeks before we're actually going to see all of the numbers coming from the campaigns when they have to do their post-general filings of campaign finance about where they got their money and how much and where they spent it. But it's starting to look very clearly like there was a massive influx from the major national labor unions into Ohio to defeat Senate Bill 5. Now, just as we mentioned here earlier, the spending that our cities, municipalities, and even our state government has been doing is unsustainable. There's only so many taxes you can take out of a person's pocket before you basically take in their wallet, the pants that they're wearing, and you're now starting to look at the skin as if you might be able to trade it on the market and get some money out of it. You know, you can only tax somebody up to 100%, and then it becomes kind of redundant.
Let's go over some of the particulars here.
Sure.
Middletown, Ohio is laying off 9 firefighters, despite the city's police and fire budgets both increasing by nearly one-third in the past decade. Now, what does that tell you? Do a quick analysis of what those numbers mean. Where is that one-third extra money going for?
Well, it's probably going for benefits, health care, pensions. The list goes on and on. The beat goes on.
Just benefits and pensions are going to be the biggest chunk of that, I'm willing to bet.
I wouldn't doubt.
Do you remember what the big thing about all the firefighters on those ads were saying? We need the right to negotiate for proper staffing numbers.
Exactly.
The right number of firefighters. And you and I both said, guess what, folks? If we aren't able to get those costs, those benefit and pension costs under control, there will be no budget available to hire quote-unquote adequate numbers of firefighters. And look what we have right here. Guess where else we have that problem? Right here within this listening area in Lancaster.
Well, that's true. That's true. I want to go into this a little bit because they talk not just about, now, folks, this is all over the state, including in your own backyard in Lancaster and in Franklin County. Middletown is down in Butler County area, and then the city of Hamilton, which is also over in Butler County, they said basically that the only thing that is delaying the inevitable, and that is layoffs of their police and fire forces, was a $5.9 million death tax haul. In other words, the estate tax. Somebody in that area who was significantly wealthy or whose estate was significantly well off died, and the community of Hamilton, the city of Hamilton, got almost $6 million in taxes from that estate, and they're using that to delay the inevitable. But it says that, and you, Chuck, you talked about that they said they wanted to negotiate for proper staffing level. Well, here's what the real phrase is. That's what the phrase they use, but here's the real phrase. Minimum staffing clauses in contracts. Hamilton's got it. They cannot let the staffing dip below a certain number of full-time employees. So basically, they're forced to have to pay overtime to people because they have minimum staffing levels. If somebody gets sick or they're taking a vacation, you can't just leave their spot open until they get back. You actually have to get somebody in who's already worked a shift to work another one because their contracts say, well, if we've got to have 80 people per shift, then it can't be 78. It can't be 79. It's got to be 80. And it doesn't matter what it costs you. I don't care if it's time and a half, double time, the city's got to pay for it. That's what they wanted to keep in those contracts. It wasn't,
absolutely.
It wasn't proper staffing levels. It was minimum staffing level, which is just a way to keep the communities from finding out that maybe they can do without some of the staffing that they've got right now.
Well, that's right. And also, it has a concomitant effect, and that is to maintain the number of dues-paying union members, which keeps the political action committee and political funds full, collected from union dues.
Well, that's another part of it, too. But, okay, so that was in Southwest Ohio. Cleveland and their city school district, which, you know, we've always heard about Cleveland and the schools and how bad they are. Because of the passage of Issue 2, the Cleveland City School District, well, they're having to make some cuts because of Issue 2. What are they cutting? They're eliminating preschool. We all know that a child getting an early start in education is a good indicator toward the child having success. But that doesn't seem to matter here because, well, we got to spend the money on teachers and their salaries. And so we're going to cut preschool. We're eliminating high school busing. And we're going to get rid of 75 security positions, Chuck. That means police officers in the halls of the schools. And this isn't just a phenomenon in the Cleveland schools. This isn't a phenomenon just in urban schools. Suburban schools have this problem. Others have this problem where the focus has not been on the children. The focus has been on managing chaos and giving the unions what they demand every time they come and demand it. And it's starting to have its toll.
Well, I can tell you that our suburban school district here, and by the way, we make the list. We actually are in this article, Westerville City Schools. We'll get to that in a minute. But we have police in the hallways here.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and they're not doing it for free.
Well, and you know what? In this article that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, Chuck, Westerville, their city schools. Looks like they're having a big round of layoffs. They're cutting.
Well, they're starting out. That's right. They're starting out with 62 support positions, and that means janitors and clerks and bus drivers and that kind of thing. And, of course, having some experience in this, what they're basically trying to do is use these cuts to make a case that we really want to do the right thing. We really need to pass a, get this, 6.9 mil emergency levy next March.
I could have guessed that, Chuck, because of the one thing in here that this list that the city school administration has said is going to get cut, because they said they're going to eliminate all sports.
The bingo.
And folks, let me just give you a little inside baseball. When the schools come to you and say that they're going to cut busing and eliminate enrichment programs and after-school programs and sports programs, there's another word for that. It's called blackmail. Those are ways to galvanize and balkanize communities, people in communities against each other, because if you're against this tax increase on everybody, you don't want little Johnny or Janie possibly going on to the NFL or the NBA or signing a big league contract or being the next, you know, fantastic musician to make millions and millions of dollars and tour the country. You're anti-child. But really, What it gets down to, Chuck, is these administrations in these school districts, and we know Westerville, you've dealt with Westerville, they go in and they basically give away the farm during collective bargaining agreements and then turn around and start threatening the taxpayers with cutting things, with cutting programs and classes for the students.
Well, that's right.
I think that's backwards, because I think we ought to start looking at, well, okay, we did this contract and now it's not working anymore, so we've got to cut those salaries, we've got to cut out these extra positions, and we're going to have the teachers actually spend more time in more classroom. But they can't do that because of the way the collective bargaining laws are set up right now. But now it looks like they're saying that possibly 175 teaching positions can get cut in Westerville.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's be clear about what just happened here. We had a combination millage and income tax on the ballot in November, and it went down 61-39. So the first thing that the school board decides to do is come back with an emergency, meaning that the millage will take effect immediately, 6.9 mils. What that means is, of course, that everybody in Westerville will be paying $214 per $100,000 of evaluation on their home, which means that the average Joe in my neighborhood will be paying somewhere in the vicinity of $330 or so every year. And everybody says, well, that's not that much money if you break it down by month. But the fact is, what it means is, that's $30 or so that my wife no longer have to take our girls out to dinner, to buy things we need for the house, to maintain our property. And yet the city will continue to require those things. Now, the fact is, where did the school board not go to cut expenses? They didn't go to the place where most of the money is going into. And you're right, the school board knew this was going to be a problem when they made the last contract. They knew it because there was a group here who put together the numbers and showed them what was going to happen, and in fact gave them a very reasonable plan for making the amount of money that they take in now last for the next 10 years. And that was by not giving away the store on these negotiations. And the fact is, we have the highest paid superintendent in the county. We have what seems like hundreds of administrative staff. I think the number of administrative staff in this district, if I'm not mistaken, is in the 70s. And you know these guys don't work for $25,000 a year. The fact is that they could have gone immediately and said, we need you to pay for anywhere between 50 and 100% of your own health insurance, your own dental insurance, much of your own benefit packages out of the $300,000+ a year that, for instance, the superintendent makes. But no, they didn't do that. They chose to cut busing and sports and orchestra and band and several of the arts classes. And that was, as you said, a blackmail move.
Oh, it always is, Chuck. And honestly, I know we're going to get some hate mail over this, but yeah, let's get right down to it. Cutting the programs for the students, it should be the last resort and not the first resort. But it works so well because, just like the way issue 2 was promoted, if you can get out ahead of it and get people all worked up and upset and galvanized that they're going to take away something that may help my child, then you can get people to vote against their better interests. Now, my argument has always been, Charles, and you've heard this from me before, is it's a crying shame that these people go and vote these levies in with, number one, with no idea of how the money's being spent or how those contract negotiations are reached. And number two, you're basically setting up taxes so that when your children finally graduate in that school district, they can't afford to live in that school district and start a family and actually be productive taxpayers in that district because the taxes are too high.
In 16 years that I've lived here, when I first moved here, my taxes were under $1,800 a year. They are now approaching $4,800 a year. That's not sustainable. The fact is, no school district on earth can be made better by simply throwing money at it over and over. And the same thing can be said for fire districts, police districts, mental health levies. It doesn't get better by throwing more and more and more and more and more money at it and paying administrative staff and employees more and more and more and more money. And almost all this problem is pensions and benefits,
which
was exactly what issue 2 was designed to help bring back under control.
But again, because more emotion ruled the day rather than serious reasoning, sometimes you get what you ask for.
We're out of time. I'm going to put a link to this article up on our blog site, www.principledpolicy.com, and you can follow that link and go out and read the article yourself. Please contact us, give us a comment, ask us a question, and if you like what we do, leave us a donation, www.principledpolicy.com. Be with us tomorrow at 5:30.